Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. There's nothing like enjoying an evening of fine food and fine company. Each year, Liberty Magazine brings those two pleasures together beautifully. Lincoln, I understand that this year was no different. Bring us up to date.
Well, the latest news on Liberty Dinners is on the 18th of April in the evening. We had our 11th annual Religious Liberty Dinner at the Embassy of Canada. This was for the second time at the Embassy. We've been at several other venues since we first began 11 years ago now in the Russell Senate Caucus Room. That was a very important room because, as we found out once, I remember I was sitting next to a congressman, and he said, "This is a very important room." He said, "This is where the Watergate hearings were held." And he said, "Also the hearings after the sinking of the Titanic." And I don't know why the U.S. would have the hearings, because it was a British ship, but they had some Titanic hearings there. But wherever we go, it's important because we're bringing together ambassadors, government figures from the Washington area, representatives from various civil and religious liberty groups, of course representing a number of churches. And it's a great opportunity to bring a couple of hundred of those people by invitation together to honor usually two or three of them for extra endeavors for religious liberty, and then to hear a usually well-known speaker give always a good speech on the value of religious liberty. And this was no exception. But this year was different because it was a repeat invitation, if you like, to the Canadian Embassy.
And I was wondering, why Canada? Why was that important that you go there?
Well, we were there last year. First of all, we wanted to honor Canada. We hadn't had a chance before, and it's a quirk of the Seventh-day Adventist Church organization that the North American division of our church includes the United States and Canada. So we thought it just appropriate, if as we could, 2 years ago, to include them. And the particular reason was we'd had advance word that the Canadian government were in the process of setting up an office of religious freedom under the foreign ministry, and they were going to establish an ambassador, the office of an ambassador for religious freedom. So last year we had the foreign minister, who in the Canadian government is second only to the prime minister. He was named Minister Baird. We had him there as our main speaker, and he gave a wonderful presentation in announcing in advance what they were planning on doing. The embassy hosted us. Beautiful facilities. The food, of course, was good, but they provided it. We paid for it. But the facility there is phenomenal. It's just down the street, maybe a big block from the Capitol. In fact, there's really nothing between the Canadian Embassy and the Capitol, other than a few parks and access entries. But it looks straight out onto the Capitol. And during our reception, we had it upstairs, and then the meal downstairs in an assembly area. But upstairs for the reception, they allowed us to spill over onto the balcony parapet area that was very large, and you could walk out like on a headland of the building, and there your entire vista was full of the U.S. Capitol. It was magical at night, of course. Well, this year we decided we would go back again because in the interim they had actually put in process their plans. They have a department now for religious freedom, and they had just appointed an ambassador, and we were happy to have him give the keynote address, Ambassador Andrew Bennett. And he's the ambassador for the Office of Religious Freedom, Government of Canada, and it was his first major speech. In fact, I don't even think he'd given a speech in Canada, probably an acceptance speech, but it was certainly his first public appearance outside of Canada. He was inspiring and is picking up at the challenge. He's had some experience, but as far as government service, not much. A very young fellow, and a lot of joking about that he's not as young as he looks, but he looked pretty young. He certainly looked like someone maybe in his early 30s, barely older than that. And it was a chance to introduce him to the U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom, Ambassadress Cook, who we'd also had speak at our dinner about 2 years ago when she was appointed. So it was a wonderful, as I characterized it in a news release, it was basically a dinner with friends again. Mm-hmm. Repeat performance. We also gave an international award to Dr. Katrina Lantos-Swepp, who is the chair of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, a very important entity in the U.S. government that monitors religious freedom around the world and reports then up to the U.S. ambassador on religious freedom. So we felt that we were bringing together all the major players on religious freedom for Canada and the United States. And it went very, very well. We also honored for a national award Dr. Charles C. Haynes, who's the Director for Religious Freedom Education at the Newseum. Mm-hmm. We didn't choose him because of the proximity, but the Newseum is right next door to the U.S. Embassy. And anyone that's listening, because some of them may be a long, long way away, but if you ever get to Washington, go to the Newseum. It's a museum of news put on by the Hearst Corporation. Mm-hmm. And it's a fabulous modern center that only moved there about 3-4 years ago. And out front, stretched along the street there every day, are the front pages from all of the major newspapers across the United States. Mm-hmm. So you can see in one sweep what the news is for the day. And inside is the story of news and publishing and the whole media outreach that characterizes our modern society. And Dr. Haynes has led out in promoting the First Amendment right of religious liberty, and in particular educating young people on the principle of religious freedom. And during the Bush administration, he prepared a series of white paper booklets on the rights of religious expression in public schools, because still a great deal of confusion on that. And the Bush administration sent them to every school in the nation. And that was a great service because it explained there, which most people don't understand, that a student is not to be restricted on their expression of religion. If they write a paper expressing their faith, fine. If they want to stand up in class and say that, you know, that their day has gone well because of their faith in Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or whatever, fine. The only thing essentially that's restricted is the teacher acting on behalf of the state and the school administration cannot promote and indoctrinate on religious faith. But even the teacher, as an individual, being very careful, obviously, that it's not mixed up with class instruction, of course can answer a question from a child and can interact as a person of faith themselves. And so Charles has done a great job, I think, in clarifying this increasingly disputatious part of religious freedom.
You know, as I hear you say that, it almost is shocking because there is so much in the news, and we digress slightly here. There's so much in the news about restriction. A child wears a religious symbol on his shirt, or he wants to hold a prayer vigil over here, or he wants to have a Bible text someplace, and they get into all kinds of trouble. So you're saying that according to the man who is with the Newseum, and he's reminding us of our First Amendment right, those kids have a right to do that. Can I digress just a moment and have you answer that question?
Yeah, yes. But I should also say that Dr. Haynes is the chair of the, I might get the title wrong, but the Committee for Religious Freedom for the National Council of Churches. So mm-hmm. he reflects a broad-based religious viewpoint. Yeah. What most people read in the newspaper that you alluded to is not the legal reality. It happens all the time because the schools have become gun-shy,
yes.
and some of them are even tilting against religion, but they're wrong. And those cases are reported on. You know, something happened. There was discipline within the school. Sometimes they go to court. But I can tell you, every time those sort of cases go to court, the courts will uphold the right of the young person.
Okay.
The schools are acting wrongly to destroy a child's paper or to tell a child that they can't bring their Bible to class, those sort of things.
Okay. All right.
We need to discriminate between what the media is saying, or it's not that it's a false piece of information, but it can be misleading out of context, as though this is the way things have to be rather than an aberration that happened and they're reporting on it.
You know, talking about the Liberty Dinner here, whenever we discuss this and I hear about these kind of get-togethers and these awards given out, it's like, really? Is this going on? You guys, when I say you guys, you in the religious liberty arena are doing a pretty good job of staying out of the limelight, out of the way, doing your work in the background. I must congratulate you on your abilities to make changes without grabbing headlines. That's kind of cool.
It's cool, but we don't mind headlines. Tell us how we get them. But no, by the nature of this sort of stuff, we're not shocking the nation with something that's out of the norm.
But that's why I like these dinners, because these people are being recognized when the media doesn't recognize them, and their next-door neighbor probably doesn't recognize what they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. But within the religious liberty community, these events are well-known.
Yes.
Of course, we go to others ourselves. There's a whole structure within Washington and with state capitals. They have much the same thing of different groups. And in a bad vein, you could call some of them lobbyists. But, you know, lobbyists has a bad name because they're usually a business interest that's spending an inordinate amount of money and sometimes even enticements to influence public policy.
That would not be you guys.
No, we're not lobbyists in that sense. Yeah. But in the classic sense, any church or any group that, say, believes in religious liberty that is making contacts and regular contacts with government, they are lobbying for their cause.
Yeah, sure.
We want to have them aware that not just that we exist, but that the cause that we stand for, religious freedom, is important. We want to remind them over and over again and often apply that principle to some legislation or potential government actions to facilitate continued religious freedom. That's a very reasonable dynamic, and we're all part of that.
Mm-hmm. When you left the dinner, did you have some new direction? Did you have some new ideas you want to share with us that you can look forward to in the next year in your work?
This is not a planning session, but we certainly are dedicated to continue doing this.
Yes.
It was begun to draw attention to Liberty Magazine 11 years ago. We were celebrating or moving up to celebrating our 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
Now it's the dinner is co-sponsored by Liberty Magazine, a North American Religious Liberty Association, that's a membership-based grassroots approach to religious liberty, by the International Religious Liberty Association, which is our Seventh-day Adventist Church and Friends of Religious Liberty moving out internationally. And then, of course, our General Conference World Headquarters is also happy to be part of this. So in total, this is the beachhead for religious liberty from the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Fantastic.
So it creates a great identification to what we're trying to do, which is not sectarian in nature, but embodies the very heart and principle of Seventh-day Adventism.
Well, Lincoln, thank you for sharing the latest about these dinners.
Absolutely. There'll be many more.
www.libertymagazine.org is where you can discover information about not only the Liberty Dinners, but Liberty Magazine itself. You can subscribe and also provide income for Liberty Magazine to send the magazine to other people in your community that need to know about this beachhead and what's going on there. That's libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.